Okay, I thank you very much for the invitation to give this shiur today. I'm here from Yerushalayim for just a few days for a great simcha in our family. Bruchim to you. And Mitoch Simcha will begin this shiur. I've called the topic of the shiur some fundamental insights into the chesed of Avraham Avinu. Parshas Vayera starts with a detailed description of Avraham Avinu's chesed, and therefore it is more than appropriate as a subject for today. I'll start with the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara says in Sukkah, Dorash Rova, Mai dechsiv ma yafu pa'amayich pane'olim bas nodiv. That's a posuk in Shir HaShirim. How beautiful are the footsteps. Bas nodiv, the daughter of the generous one. And the Gemara, and Rova said that it refers to b'shosh ma yofu pa'amoisehen shel Yisrael b'shosh oilin loregel. How beautiful are the footsteps of Am Yisrael when they are going up to Aliyah Loregel in Yerushalayim for the Shlosha Regolim. Bas Nodiv, what's the meaning of Bas Nodiv? The people of Yisrael, the Knesset Yisrael, are here called the daughter of the Nodiv, the generous one. That refers to Bitoy Shel Avraham Avinu, Bito Shel Avraham Avinu Shenikra Nodiv. Avraham Avinu, we find, is called the Nodiv, the generous one. Sheneemar Nedive Amim Neesofu Am Elokei Avraham. Elokei Avraham asks the Gemara, Velo Elokei Yitzchok Velokei Yaakov. Why Dafka Avraham is mentioned together with this quality of Nedive Amim? Because Shehoyo Rishon Lagerim, he was the first of the Gerim. He was the first to be Misgayer. It was to take upon himself Torah Mitzvahs and Emunah. So Rashi says, there are two Rashis there, which both go in the same direction. And the Rashi is very striking. Rashi says, Bas Nodiv, Avraham Avinu is called a Nodiv, says Rashi, Shenodvoy Liboy Lehakires Boroi. Out of the generosity of his heart, he recognized the Boroi Olam, the Creator. He came to Emunah out of a middah of generosity. And then Rashi says again on the Shehoyo Rishon Legerim, that expression in the Gemara, that he was the first of all Gerim, says Rashi, Benidvas Liboy Lehisgayer. That's again learned from the phrase Nedive Amim, because it was a matter of Nedivus Alev, of the generosity of his heart, that brought him to accept upon himself Gerus, to accept upon himself Torah and Mitzvahs and Emunah. So how do we understand this concept? There's something very profound about it, that the Emunah came to him as a matter of generosity, klape malo, towards the Ribbono Shel Olam. There is a phrase elsewhere in Midrashim that Avraham Avinu was mischased im koinoi, right? He did chesed. Avraham Avinu did chesed with his creator, yeah? And here we see that the greatest chesed that Avraham Avinu did with his creator was the chesed of recognizing him, and the chesed of accepting upon himself a life of Avodas Hashem. That was the chesed of Avraham Avinu. And how do we understand the connection? So I've, how should I say, come up with two explanations. Why it's a matter of chesed to recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam and to accept his yoke. One explanation is because giving of recognition to a power above myself is an act of giving. We use the phrase even in English and also in Hebrew. Lo seis hakoro, to give hakoro, to give recognition, because the self-centeredness of that a human being is inclined to initially doesn't lend itself to giving recognition to some power which is above myself. Yeah. And if one does, when Avraham Avinu did that act, that great act of recognizing the Borei Olam, that required the generosity of his heart. That was a matter of chesed. So we see from this that the chesed came to before the emunah. Right? The chesed brought to his emunah. Not like I've seen some svarim say that if there's until there is emunah, there's no true chesed, which is to me a pella. I'm not going to go into that. But I'll just say that from this Rashi, it's clear that it is chesed that brought him to emunah. And my explanation of that, my first explanation of that is how so? Because chesed, because accepting emunah is a matter of giving. And giving is chesed. It required chesed to be able to give recognition to the Borei Olam. Another explanation is based on a medrash at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, a well-known medrash. Amar Rav Yitzchok. Rav Yitzchok said, Moshal le'echod shehoyo oiver mimokoim lemokoim. There is a moshal to a person who was traveling, was passing from place to place. Viro biro achas dolekes. And he saw this castle. On his way, he passed by a castle which was going up in flames. Dolekes. The castle was burning. And said, and he said, this man passing this, the biro said, Tomar shehabiro hazu beloy manhig. Can it be that this beautiful castle, elaborate castle, has no master? There's no one who has built this. There's no balabayas. There's no balabayas of this biro. Can that be? There has to be a manhig who's responsible. Hetzitz olav baal habiro. So the baal habiro, the owner of the castle, looked down on him. Omar loy ani hu baal habiro. I am the owner of this biro, right? And on that says the Medrash Kach. In this manner, lefi shehoyo avinu Avraham Omer, because Avraham Avinu was saying, Tomar sheho'olam hazeh b'loy manik. Can we say that this whole world, this whole fantastic, elaborate world, is without a manhig, has no balabayas? Can that be? Hates its olav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'omar loy, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked down upon him and said in the tzivui of Lech Lecho, and he said to him, Ani hu baal ho'olam. I am the owner of this world, the master of this world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to him because he responded to seeing this fantastic world and revealed to him that he's the Borei Olam. He created this world. The question, if we want to understand this medrash a little more in depth, is why does the Moshel speak of Biro Achas Doilekes? Why is it significant that this Biro that he saw was going up in flames, was burning? Why is that mentioned altogether? What does it have to do with the Moshel and the Nimshel? Yeah? And I believe that the answer is that had Avraham Avinu seen a world which was calm and not having troubles and difficulties, then there wouldn't have been anything to push him to inquire who is the master of this world. It wasn't just that he was amazed by the grandeur of the world, or by the complexity of the world, by the wonders of creation. It wasn't just an intellectual exercise of wonderment, yeah, but rather it was an emotional. There was an emotional problem. He saw the world, and he saw that this world is going up in flames. He saw that the world is being destroyed by human beings. Yeah, and he said, there has to be a balabais, and he was concerned for that balabais. The balabais must be in great pain. If his castle is burning. Yeah. And because Ramavinu was concerned for the balabais of the world, that's what pushed him to recognize that's a matter of chesed. He was worried for the balabais. The balabais must be in pain. And like just as one relates to another person in need, and I'll just mention in quick passing that my wife Zichrona Livracha was nifta just 1 month ago, and she was a isha gedolah whose chesed was such, I'll just say very, very briefly in one word, whose chesed, whose concern for individuals and families in trouble was such that she, in her quiet way, focusing on the need of each individual and each individual family, she brought about, now she's credited with the whole revolution in Eretz Yisrael on how to relate to the weak people in society who have special needs. Yeah. And whilst these people, when she started out, frequently used to be just hidden away by the wayside of society in their homes, she had she developed a whole program through her genuine acts of chesed. One by one, by one by one, she created in the Beis Yaakov Seminary of Yerushalayim a major program with hundreds of girls and a staff of 100 teachers integrated into the school, and she brought up a lot of these students from high school age and upwards into the norms of society. And it's become like a quiet revolution in our society, that suddenly these girls have a place, and many of them get married and raise families of Bnei Torah, and it's a different world for them. And this all developed from an enormous capacity that she had of chesed for each and every individual that she saw in need. It was step by step, similar to that pasuk we mentioned at the beginning, Ma yofu po'omayich bane'olim, how beautiful are your footsteps, the Medrash says about Klal Yisrael. Her achievement was built that way, by footsteps, one step and another step and another step, quietly, under quiet, and it created ultimately, and after, in the course of 40 years, became a veritable revolution in our society, bringing in to the mainstream many, many students who otherwise would fall on the wayside and be hidden away. That is another reason for me to focus on the midah of chesed of Avraham Avinu in this year today. Le'ilui nishmosa. So this was another explanation of how it was the midah of chesed, of nedivus, that brought Avraham Avinu to his emunah, and to be the Rishon Legerim, to accept upon himself the yoke of Malchus Shemayim. Yeah. It was a matter of chesed towards the Melech. Chesed towards the Borei Olam. Yeah. I want to take this a little step further to understand the profundity of and the purity of Avraham Avinu's chesed, which is ingrained in our, how do you call it, national DNA, and which derives, according to the Rashi and Sukkah, from even before his emunah. It was the chesed which brought him to emunah, as we've said. I want to show you the contrast of a culture built on the chesed of Avraham Avinu. I want to show you a contrast between the chesed, a culture built on the chesed of Avraham Avinu, and a different culture which is sweeping the world today. When you penetrate to understand this, you'll see that the contrast is very, very profound and very, very significant here. Some years ago, the mayor of Yerushalayim was Uri Lopolyansky, and Uri Lopolyansky was the person who built the empire of Yad Sarah, which is an empire of Chesed. Yad Sarah, it's really amazing. It's based on the organization which was concerned for lending medical equipment. And it also sprouted, and it grew. It's something which is internationally recognized and imitated. It's a very, very great Kiddush Hashem, and it's a great organization of genuine Chesed. Yeah. Uri Lopolyansky, after he was no longer mayor, was accused of taking bribery. Why? Because while he was, I believe, chairman of the committee responsible for planning of construction in Yerushalayim, there was an interested group, a group with an interest to build what was known as the Holy Land complex in Yerushalayim. And it was said that there was a lot of bribery going on behind the scenes in developing that complex. And he was accused that whilst he was in that position and they were considering the construction of that project, his organization, Yad Sarah, accepted a big donation from one of the investors in that project, who was a supporter of Yad Sarah himself, and he gave a big donation at that time. So Uri, who happens to have been a friend of mine from years before also, and I looked into the meaning of what was going on with this accusation, because I was very concerned with it, and I learned that Uri was he accused of bribery? Why was it considered bribery when his charity organization accepted money? It didn't go through him at all. It was never in his pocket, and I got the text of the sentence of the judge, who sentenced him to 6 years in prison. 6 years in prison because he accepted bribery it wasn't when he was mayor, it was even before he was mayor, yeah. And the judge explains why it was considered bribery. In his sentencing, he explained why it was considered bribery. And what he wrote was that true, that it's all true that Uri Lapolyansky was a great man of charity and chesed throughout his life, and he did this and he did that and he did the other, but the Yad Sara which he built, that is what built up his career. He earned for himself a standing in society by building this Yad Sara. And he mentions further, he said that it was only through his Yad Sara that he became so close to Rav Eliashiv. And that relationship with Rav Eliashiv was for him worth millions. That's what built his career. Yeah. So anything that Yad Sara accepted was like him accepting personally. Now, when you analyze that thinking, then what it says is that the thinking of this judge, who was part of the unfortunately Israeli system of foreign law. I call it a foreign law because it's not the natural law of Am Yisrael. His thinking was that it's clear to him that this is a personal interest, that the construction of Yad Sara is a personal interest for a man like Uri Lapolyansky, because no one does things that are purely for the sake of others, and that are genuinely without ulterior motives. Everyone has an ulterior motive. People don't do things. In other words, the concept of pure chesed, purely for the sake of chesed, which was Avraham Avinu's great midah, right? That concept somehow was undercut. It was cut out of the culture of this liberal mindset. And it's a deeply cynical culture that can think that you can send a man to prison because you're certain, there's no suffix in your mind, that he's acted out of self-interest and not out of pure chesed. The concept of pure chesed has been destroyed, has been removed. And that's a very profound contrast with our true culture. And as I said before, it's not even a matter of religion, because Avraham Avinu's chesed preceded his emunah. That's why I called it part of our national DNA. Right? It's implanted in us from Avraham Avinu to believe in chesed as a pure concept, chesed for the sake of chesed. And this, you can't send a person to prison, certainly not for 6 years or at all, because of if you're not absolutely certain that this was a self-interest and therefore bribery. So that is an illustration, a very real life illustration of the depth of the concept of the chesed of Avraham Avinu. Chesed has to be ingrained in that it's genuine concern for the other person, for any person in need, just as it's Avraham Avinu's chesed extended even to the Ribbono Shelolam himself. Out of genuine concern, Avraham Avinu was mekabel on himself emuna and Toru mitzvahs for himself and for all his future descendants. Yeah. That is an insight which we have to comprehend. Briefly, I'll mention another Gemara before ending. There is a Gemara in Nedarim Lamed Beis Lamed Aleph, where the Gemara says, "Mipnei man nena Avraham Avinu, nishtabdu bonov lemitzrayim mosayim ve'eser shonim." Why was Avraham Avinu punished that his children would be subjugated to the Mitzrayim for 210 years? Rebbe Vo, in the name of Rebbe Lozar, says that the reason is mipnei she'oso angariyo b'talmidei chachomim, because Avraham Avinu took talmidei chachomim and took them out to do war in the story of the Arba Melochim and the Chamisha Melochim in order to save Lot. So he took talmidei chachomim she'ne'emar v'yorek es chanichov v'yelidei beisoy. Right, he equipped for battle those chanichim, those students of his, if you wish, who were born in his home, which Chazal tells us elsewhere means Eliezer, who was Delu Umashka. He was a great Talmud of Avraham Avinu. He was a Talmud Chacham, and Avraham Avinu took him to battle, to war. That was something that he shouldn't have done, and therefore he was punished. Then it says Shmuel Omar, because Hifriz al Midosov shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu shenemar b'mo eda. Right, when he asked, "Give me a sign that your promises are going to be fulfilled," b'mo eda, that was an avera. And Rabbi Yochanan Omar shehifrish bnei Adam lehikones tachas hashchina shenemar tenli hanefesh v'horuchush kach loch. He had an opportunity to bring in all the captives from that melchoma under kantfei hashchina, and that was to be megayer a whole number of gerim. And he was mevater. He left it aside, and that was the cause for Golus Mitzrayim. And I suggest that when the Gemara says mipnei man ne'anash Avraham Avinu, it doesn't mean literally that Avraham Avinu was actually punished. Avraham Avinu kept kol ha'Torah kula, taryag mitzvahs, and even mitzvahs derabbanan like Eruv Tavshilin, which is a derabbanan upon a derabbanan, Avraham Avinu kept. And Dafka, not to do angaria with talmidei chachamim, he didn't fulfill. Does that make sense? But the explanation, I believe, is that, of course, he wasn't actually punished. But it looks like a punishment. And the Gemara says, why did he deserve that punishment? Avraham Avinu certainly didn't deserve such punishment of Golos for his children, despite these few apparent faults. You know. But the Gemara is saying that he wasn't actually punished. These are things which, these actions of Avraham Avinu are actions which show, which demonstrate why the eternal future of Klal Yisrael could not be built on the Nedivus Lev of Avraham Avinu on its own. If the relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam would only be for all posterity, based on voluntarism, right, on Nedivus Lev, on Chesed, on Ahava, and not on Yira, not on accepting upon themselves the oil as a yoke and as avdus, as a shibud, right, towards the Ribbono Shel Olam, all of the Torah, then it wouldn't survive through the generations. Rashi on Bamo Eda explains that what he was asking when he said Bamo Eda was, how do I know that the future generations are going to continue with what I have chosen to be subject to your malchus? Yeah. How do I know that the future? And he answered him, because of the schus of korbonos, Rashi says in Chumash. And that's the perception that I see in this Gemara also. that Avraham Avinu laid the foundations based on Ahava and Chesed and voluntarism. But that's not a foundation which could remain throughout all times. We had to have a solid foundation of Shibud to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that came about through Golus Mitzrayim. In Golus Mitzrayim, we were Meshubad to Paroi, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out from Paroi, and he said, Avodayhem, V'loy Avodim La'Avodim, these are going to be my servants for all of time. My servants means that there is a yoke, there is a chiyuv, there is Yiras Shemaim, not only Ahavas Hashem, and that's the foundation upon which Klal Yisrael had to be built. For that we needed Golus Mitzrayim.
Yeah.
That's the perception which I believe this Gemara is believing. So why also Angario b'Talmidei Chachomim? Why did Avraham Avinu allow himself to send Talmidei Chachomim to battle? The reason is because Avraham Avinu's acceptance of Kvod HaTorah, right, and of learning of Torah, was a voluntary matter. So the Gemara says that Talmid Chochem shemochal al kvoidoi kvoidei mochul. Why? Because the Torah is Torah delay. Right? The Torah is his own Torah, so he has the right to be mochal on kvoid ha-Torah. Avraham Avinu, all of his Torah was voluntary. So it was his to be mochal on. He had the power to set aside the covenant of his own Torah, because it was his Torah delay. That itself is the reason why that could not be a foundation for all of the future. Because if you could always set aside the covenant of the Torah because it's all your own, then that's not going to remain throughout history. It had to be a matter of Torah given min hashamayim. And in order to get to that point, we needed Golus Mitzrayim, and then the Yitzia from Mitzrayim, and then Matan Torah and Har Sinai. It wasn't enough to do the Torah based on the Chesed and the Nedivus Lev of Avraham Avinu, which he may have passed on, but it still wasn't a firm enough foundation for all of the future. So that's a little overview of the history of Klal Yisrael that the Torah teaches us, beginning with Avraham Avinu's Nedivus Lev, and how the Ribbono Shel Olam built us up afterwards as a firm Am Lunetzach for all time. And Yitz Hashem, we should see Yitz Hashem Bekorov B'Yomenu through the Midah of Chesed, which is, as we know, one of the things which are mekarev the geula. We should indeed be zoche to the geula b'mehera v'yameinu geula shleima. All the best to
you. I remember you are from the chassidim time when they were all chassidim. Very, very beautiful. Very nice.